Man, Mike has been knocking it out of the park the last few weeks with the project series, and it's been great because it's kind of been kind of setting me up. Has anybody here played softball? I only play slow pitch, I don't pay. But where someone kind of lobs one up for you and you think, I'm just going to crush it. I hope I connect and crush it and knock it out of the park today and not make a big whiff and miss it. But I hope today, because Mike has just been killing it in terms of talking about prayer, praying for lost people, praying for people that they come to know Jesus, praying for the people who are sharing, whether it's people in your small group, but in general, Mike has really kind of had an emphasis on prayer, and that's great because we, man, we find prayer to be powerful and effective, just like the Bible says, and we find it to be one of the greatest tools that we have. But one of the other things that Mike said a few weeks back that's really stuck with me and is really kind of just stirred within me is that the church corporate can only excel at what the church personal is doing. And so I hope today that as we talk about what we as the church personal in Hamburg is doing, that it can encourage you to excel as the church personal here in Lubbock in the ways that we engage people, the way that we love on people, the way that we share the name of Jesus with people. And so I hope that as we talk about what we're doing, that we're able to translate and help you see how that can be done here in Lubbock as well. And so to begin with, I want to talk a little bit about our job description sometimes gets thrown around and the word missions gets thrown out sometimes, a mission trip or a mission whatever. I want to take a second and just kind of define missions for you. I heard it defined maybe about a month ago as missions is the act of God drawing near. It's not necessarily about the project or about a trip, but it's a lifestyle of his people drawing near to people to share their lives and to share the gospel with people. And that's just a beautiful picture. I think Mike talked about a little bit last week with Lot. Lot was sent there. God went, Jesus, the incarnate Jesus, went there to try and save people. God drew near to Sodom and Gomorrah to try and save people. And that's all that we seek to do is to just draw near to people, to engage people, to love on people. And the way that we do that, we kind of have a mission verse or a statement verse kind of for my family and I that we've read and we think, man, this is kind of it. This lays out a little bit of a pattern, a little bit of a set. And so I want to read it for you, and we're going to talk a little bit about it this morning. If you have your Bibles, it's in 1 Thessalonians 2:8. And I'm going to read two different translations because I like the way some of the wording in one of them, and I like some of the wording in the other. The same wording, but just the words that the different translations chose really just kind of speaks to me a little bit. And so in 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says, "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us." Another translation says, "We cared so much for you that we were pleased to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our own lives as well, because you had become so dear to us." And I think in that verse we see it encapsulated how God wants us to engage people, how we want to see people, how we want to be about talking to people, loving on people, living next to people. The first thing we see, Paul is talking to the Thessalonians, but then he talks about he was affectionately desirous of someone, and we want to ask the question, who is that? Who is he being affectionately desirous of? And if we read just a little bit further, he tells us, because he said he was happy to not only share the gospel of God, well, who needs to hear the gospel? One, we all need to hear the gospel because we're all sinners. We're all lost at some point, and hopefully at some point we find Jesus and we have that transition into a relationship with him. But he talks about that to begin with, that he was affectionately desirous of these lost people that he found in Thessalonica. And so I want to ask you, when was the last time that you looked at a lost person or someone you know that doesn't know Jesus and were affectionately desirous for them? That you were stirred, that you had this yearning, that you had this feeling inside because you knew that they didn't know who Jesus was. And moved to talk to them, moved to share Jesus with them, moved to speak the name of Jesus, moved to ask if you could pray for them. That's what Paul is. When Paul's in Thessalonica, he sees these people and he's moved because he knows that they don't know who Jesus is. And he became affectionate for them. He became desirous for their souls that they would come to know who Jesus was. And so when he talks about that, I'm not talking about missionary dating or flirt to convert. I'm talking about that true, deep love for people that would cause you to move into action, from feeling to action. And I remember I had this experience once in my life. I have a really good friend named Ray. Ray and I grew up together. From seventh grade on, we did just about everything together. We did every science project together in science class in seventh grade. We wrestled on the high school wrestling team together. We went to college together. We roommated in college together. I mean, we were basically like family. I could drive to his house, open the door, walk in, grab some sweet tea, give his mom a hug, and just sit down and start watching TV. And it was like I was at home. And it was the same at my house. Because Ray and I, we're basically family. But it came to a point when I realized that I did not know if Ray knew Jesus or not. And I struggled with that. Because this was later on, this was when we were in college. And we had already spent from seventh grade through high school, through a couple of years of college together, running around doing all sorts of things, experiencing things, going through things together. And I didn't know if Ray knew who Jesus was. Or more importantly, did Ray have a relationship with Jesus? And so I had that desire. I wanted to know. I wanted to know. He was like family to me. And I didn't know. And so eventually this emotion, this driving, this yearning, this desirous affection for my friend to know who Jesus was propelled me into action and propelled me to have a tough conversation with him that we had one night where I finally talked to him about Jesus. Now, being a guy, we hung out for 3 or 4 hours and did everything else, and about the last 5 minutes before he was getting ready to leave, I finally mustered up the guts to start talking about it because I'm a guy and that's how we do things. But we got to that conversation, and Ray told me, he said, I know who Jesus is, and I have a relationship with him. And I was relieved, but then I noticed something on Ray's face. Ray was a little upset because, I mean, we were close. We were like brothers almost, and that was an area of his life that I didn't know, but it's because I hadn't been propelled. I didn't have that desire. I didn't have that affection until God placed that in me to look at them. And so I want to ask you, when was the last time you saw a lost person and was moved, that you had affection, that you were desirous for their soul, that Jesus would come in and change their lives? Because when I look at lost people, a lot of times, I don't have a very good attitude sometimes. I get frustrated. I get mad. Sometimes I get belligerent because I mess up a lot. But God, if I look at the example of Jesus, Jesus didn't look at lost people that way. In Matthew 9:36, it says, when he saw the crowds, he felt compassion on them, because they were weary and worn out like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus saw them and said, I have hope for you. Jesus saw them and said, you're wandering around lost, but I can show you the way. And if we don't share that view, if we keep lost people at arm's length, we will never, ever be able to engage people in a way that shows compassion, in a way that shows the love of Jesus, just like Jesus modeled for us when he was here on the earth. And so we need to keep those things. But how do we do that? We do that a bunch of different ways in Hamburg. One of my passions, addictions, hobbies, if you will, is coffee. I love coffee. I roast coffee. I brew coffee all sorts of ways. I'm the guy that brings his coffee on vacation because hotel coffee just isn't going to cut it. And so I love coffee, and so I use coffee as a way to connect with people. I use coffee as a way to get in the door, to build relationships with people. And because my friend Jason Bishop likes coffee, we do that together. And so one of the ways that we do things in Hamburg is that we will adopt areas of our town and prayer walk the town. And as we're prayer walking, what am I looking for? Well, I'm looking to see what God's doing, but I'm also looking, where's the coffee shop? Because working in Europe, most people think all you do is sit around in sidewalk cafes, drink coffee, and look at all the beautiful ancient architecture. Well, we do that, but we try and do that with purpose. And so as I go to new places in our city and I prayer walk areas, I look for cafes. And we go and we sit in cafes, but because we want to be about engaging people, when we find a cafe, we commit to go there frequently. Multiple times a week. And so as we did that, we had this one cafe that we decided we were going to adopt, and we went and we sat and we talked to the baristas. In case somebody asked me after the service, the baristas are the people behind the counter making your drink. Somebody asked me last service, what is a barista? So the people behind the counter making your drink. We go and we talk to those people. Not just, oh, I need a coffee or I need a latte or I want whatever. Well, we try and talk. We engage them in conversation. We ask them how their day is going and listen. And so we did that. We committed to do that. And so we got to the point where we knew most of the staff. We knew the manager at this coffee shop. And we decided we need to start praying for these people because we need to engage them in a different way besides just hello or how's your week or how are you doing. And so we decided, all right, Tuesdays, we're going to go and we're going to pray for these people. Well, we're not just going to pray for them. We're going to ask them, how can we pray for you so that we can be praying for specifics, so we can be engaging them on a different level. And so we started asking them. Now, when you ask somebody in Germany if I can pray for you, you have to do a little bit of legwork. Because when you ask somebody, most of the time people are going to look at you like you're crazy because they have no concept of people praying for them. Here, if you go up to somebody in Lubbock and say, I'd like to pray for you, is there anything that I can pray for you about? At least people have a concept of what you mean or what you want to do for them what you want to do. We have to back up and say, this is what prayer is, and we believe prayer works, and this is how prayer can change lives and change circumstances, and God listens to prayer. And so we have to do all this backstory just for the simple question of, is there anything we can pray for you about? And so when we started doing this, we got a lot of weird looks. We got, I'm good. Or we got, I'd like everybody to be happy. Just, you know, the real surface level. And as we continued on, that transition from no to everybody to be happy to, I got to decide if I'm going to stay in Hamburg and work or if I'm going to move to Berlin and work. Could you please pray that I would know what's the right decision? To, I really kind of like this guy and I don't really know how this relationship's going to go. Could you pray that I would know what to do? And so you can see we're building. We're transitioning from surface to they see that every Tuesday we are there, and every Tuesday we are asking, and every Tuesday they see us praying for them. And because we're committed to be there multiple times a week, we were there like on a Thursday, and the manager comes up, and we can tell in her countenance that something's wrong. And she says, will you pray for me today? You're always asking us on Tuesdays if you can pray for us. And we said, no, it's not Tuesday, it's Thursday. Sorry, we can't pray for you today. It's our day off. No. We said, yeah, we'd love to pray for you. What can we pray for you about? And she said, my mom has Parkinson's. And she's not happy anymore. She's not smiling. She's not laughing. She's not joyful. And she said, will you just pray that she would laugh or smile or show some type of joy? Because not only does she have this disease and our family's dealing with this, but it's taking away who my mom is, and it's different. She's different. And so we said, of course, we'd love to pray for you for that. So we pray for her then, and then we continue to pray for her. Maybe about 3 or 4 weeks later, she comes running up to our table and says, do you remember how you pray for us? Pray for my mom. And we're like, of course, yeah, we do. And she said, well, I went and visited him this weekend, and she laughed. She showed joy, and she goes, I remember that you prayed for me. And so now in that coffee shop, we have an advocate in the manager who tells her workers, when these guys ask you if you need prayer, if they can pray for you, tell them, because these people pray and prayer works. And so we're engaging people. We're looking for ways to do it. Now, coffee is my way. I love coffee. But everybody is wired differently. And that's the cool thing about how God has made each one of us, is that we all have different interests, different desires, different areas of life that just make us kind of come alive or interest, or that we could talk 20 minutes and people go, well, I only really wanted to know how the coffee was. But God has done that because sometimes we get to a point where we say, God, I don't know what to do. I want to do something, but I don't know what to do. Lubbock has 250,000, quarter of a million people. Hamburg has 3 to 5 million. The task is daunting either way. Quarter of a million, 3 to 5 million, that's still a daunting. And sometimes we go, I want to do something, but where do I start? And one of the best things that I ever heard when we first moved to Europe was that when you don't know what to do, pray, fast, and get a hobby. And so when you pray and fast, you're just petitioning God, saying, God, I want to be used. I want to be one of those power brokers that Mike talked about last week. I want to be able to engage people and make things happen for your kingdom. Show me what to do. And then the next part, the hobby part, that's the beauty part. because, like I said, everybody, God has made all of us different, and it looks different for everyone. How you engage people, it might be photography, it could be cycling, it could be barbecuing, it could be coffee, it could, the, you enlist it, you can do it. I mean, that's the deal. God can take whatever it is that you're interested in, as long as it's not sin, and use it to, so that you can share his name, how you can engage people, how you can love on people in his name to be able to bring glory, to be able to let people know who Jesus is. And so that's what we do. It's not rocket science. Sometimes it feels complicated because we get stressed and we get frustrated and we say, I just don't know what to do. Sometimes we throw our hands up. I get that way sometimes. I got to go back and say, all right, I got to pray and fast and see what God wants me to, how he wants me to engage. So as we do that, that's what we do in Hamburg. That's it. Now, when you think about how that might translate for you, I want to help put it into some practical things here for you so that you can engage people in Lubbock, Texas, because God doesn't just want us to engage overseas. He wants you to engage in your backyard or down the block or in the coffee shop here. So the first thing that we try and do is that we always try and be in proximity to people, because I can't talk about Jesus with people if I'm in my apartment all the time or if I'm on my couch watching TV. I got to be out with people. Now, in my city, 3 to 5 million people, I step out my door, and I'm with people. Because, I'm talking urban, stacked up tall, trains, buses, shoulder-to-shoulder people. Lubbock's a little bit more spread out. We're in Texas, right? We're all a little bit spread out. Big trucks, big yards, big houses. We like our space. We can run around and do things and hardly interact with anybody because we have space or we're in our car the whole time. Me, I get to sit next to the drunk guy that's passed out on the train. But we got to be in proximity to people. And as we're out in proximity, we have to have purpose. We have to kind of create a presence where we're at. Because I can go out and ride the train all day long and never talk to a soul and be in proximity to people and never have talked a word to anybody. And so we have to have that. We have to try and create a presence. That's what we did at the coffee shop. I could go to a coffee shop every day, order a drink, sit down, not talk to anybody, and be in proximity to people and never open my mouth. But what we try and do is we try and create that presence. We try and have that purpose of engaging people, asking them how they're doing, asking them how you can pray for them. What might that look like for y'all? I mean, we go to gyms, we go to the grocery store, we go to coffee shops, we go all sorts of places. A lot of times we run in and we run out and we don't ever stop and think about it. We've been back in Texas for about 6 months, and we've kind of noticed a culture of busyness. We catch ourselves in busyness as well now that we're back, because we're kind of getting swept into it. And there's this attitude of, if I'm busy, then I'm being productive. Now, there is some truth that you can get a lot of things done, but when you sacrifice the possibility of a conversation with somebody, maybe you're too busy. We've got to try and find those times to carve out to say, you know what, I'm going here, and I'm going here with the purpose of engaging somebody. Whether it's our gym class that we've been going to the same people with, spin class, CrossFit, who knows, Taekwondo, whatever it is that you do, whatever it is that you're already doing, you don't have to start something new. Take what God has given you, take what God has, the passions he's given you, and use them with purpose to speak the name of Jesus to people. Because he wants to engage people. We talked about that. I'm getting to talk today about one of the greatest things on Father's Day, the heart of the Father. And Mike talked about it last week. The heart of God, the heart of our Father, our Heavenly Father, is that all men would know him and come and be saved. That's all we're trying to do. We're trying to just be a part of what God wants to be about. And it's about saving people. It's about that drawing near. Because missions is overseas. It's in your backyard. It's in your church, so that the church corporate can excel in what the church personal is doing. And so we want you to do that. We want you to be out in proximity, creating presence. But as you're there, looking for partners. Partnerships are key. Now, partners look differently. Sometimes the partner is the guy or girl or whoever that's right next to you, engaging, laboring side by side, praying for people, talking with people that, I mean, Jason is my partner. We go out and hit the coffee shops and look for people to talk to. But there's a different type of partnership as well. There's those people that pray. Mike talked a lot about it the last few weeks about praying, intercession, praying for lost people, praying for the people who are sharing, praying. And those are important as well. You may not realize it, but y'all are our partners. Not only have y'all committed to pray for us and our team that are there, but you are also sending people to the field where we work, where we labor, where we sweat, where we cry, where we engage people. Y'all are already partners here for us. Where are you going to find your partners? It might be your small group. It might be, just might, when you're out engaging people and someone comes to know Jesus, that person becomes your partner. That person becomes your co-laborer. That person is the one that is in the trenches with you, praying, laboring for the people that they're around as well, because they came out of that. Where are you going to find your partners? We have found our partners in you, and we are thankful and grateful that y'all are our partners. And as you continue to pray for us, we have cards out in the hallway that have our little pictures. My family and the Bishop family. Take as many as you want. Stick them wherever it is that you're going to see them. On your mirror, in the bathroom, on the fridge, in the dash of your car. I don't care. But whenever you see them, would you pray for us? Remember that we're laboring, but you're also our partners in that. You have a part of the work. It's not just us in the trenches, but it's y'all as well. And I want to encourage you to know that God is doing things in Hamburg. God is opening doors in places that we didn't know about. God is creating groups where we didn't know that groups could exist in terms of people coming and wanting to be discipled and people wanting to know how to share their story about Jesus and how they met him and how he changed their life. And so God is moving in Hamburg, and we are excited about that. I talked to Jason just a couple of weeks ago and said they had about 5 or 6 new discipleship groups that are starting up. Things are moving, things are rolling, but we still hit lots of walls. We still hit lots of hard hearts. We still hit lots of cultural barriers. And so we want to continue to ask that you pray for us, for our team, for our people. Because those 3 to 5 million people, I don't know all of their names. But you know what? I definitely know a handful of names. And I am affectionately desirous for these people. I am moved that they would know who Jesus is. And I am moved that they would come to be part of the family of Christ, because I know where they will go when they die if they don't. And my heart is broken for these people, because I know how hard-hearted they are. And I know that it's not me that's going to be able to do it. And I know that there are people in your lives that are just as hard-hearted, just as stubborn, just as closed off, just as I don't want to hear what you have to say type of people here in Lubbock as there is in Germany. I'm not a fool to think that my backyard, Texas, is any better. All I know is Jesus, and that's what we try and proclaim. That's what we try and talk about. That's what we try and say, is that it's not us, it's Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.